Well, good morning again. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the promise of your word that you say that you have given us a glorious inheritance in Christ. That you give us every single thing we need. And if we lack anything, it's because we haven't asked you, we haven't sought your face. Because you love giving extraordinary gifts to your kids. This morning, Father, as we open your word, I ask, Father, that you, by your Spirit, speak through me, that the words I speak won't be from me, but they'll be from your Spirit that dwells in me. And may it penetrate all of our hearts, including mine. As we continue the journey of revelation of what it means to be the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. I hope you are blessed by the message last week around sonship, and we're going to continue on that journey a bit today. One of the things that I have noticed in Christendom, and you know what, sometimes I've probably done it, is the good old name it and claim it theology. We all want that kind of theology, don't we? We just wish we could just pull down these divine moments from God because I've got a problem and I need it fixed, and I need it fixed now, and we expect this lightning moment, and then it doesn't happen. Am I the only one that this is I've experienced this? Come on, I don't mind a bit of feedback, all right? Have you ever had a moment where, if you're really, really honest with yourself, that you've just been really angry at God because he hasn't come through for you? We don't like to admit that, do we? Because we want to kind of have this God that's all perfect and this part of my life is all nice and neat and tidy. Except for God wants all of us. He doesn't say, I just want this little part of your life. I don't want your 5-minute devotion of a morning or your 10-minute, or for the really spiritual people that get up and spend an hour praying in the morning. He wants 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of it. I remember the lesson I had as a young man. I was about 18. Probably had some anger issues. I did. A guy at my workplace really bugged me, and I got in my little VW Beetle and I drove out to the beach at Ocean Grove, or I went to 13th Beach because there was no one around there, and I walked for about 3 kilometres yelling at God. I told God how unfair life was, how he hadn't come through, what the heck was he doing, and I told him straight. Didn't use Christian language either. Got to about 3 km down there, and it's probably there's been a couple of times in my life where it's pretty close to the audible voice of God. It wasn't like it was his voice that just beamed out there, but the way he spoke to me was, it may as well have been. He goes, all right, I've had enough of your whinging, now you've got to praise me all the way back. Yeah. I've heard it. But it wasn't a word that went, you cannot whinge. It wasn't a slap. It wasn't those moments. It was actually this gentle moment going, I've heard it. You've given it to me. Now be thankful for who I am. One of the biggest complaints about Christendom is that we're judgmental, that we sit in our high and mighty places and we judge the rest of the world. You know what? There's probably some truth in it. to be honest. Because we've forgotten that God actually wants to do a journey of authenticity, vulnerability, and intimacy. He wants to just live out our lives with us. And as we interact with our families, the people around us, He transforms everyone. But our God is an extraordinary God. He actually created you and I with a free will. We have the choice whether we're going to give Him this much or this much. We can give Him this part of our life, but God, I've got some trust issues here, so I'm not going to give that to you. And it doesn't matter who we are, we've all got those things. For some people it's finances, for some people it's just the hurt and stuff that's happened, it's the trauma of life, it's all of the things that have happened in our journey that we just hang on to a bit. And you know what, if God dealt with every single thing that we carried when we come to Christ, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We'd drown in it. So He's gracious and He takes us on a journey of transformation. And I want to encourage every one of you, no matter whether you're just starting out on your journey with Christ or whether you're heading towards the end of your life and you've been journeying with Him the rest of your life, He's still not finished with you. While there's breath in our lungs, He still wants to do stuff. I've often said to, and there was a lady here at the prayer day yesterday who was, I don't know how old she was. She was an older lady. But when she prayed, her voice was frail, her voice with all those things, but my goodness, when she prayed, whoa, there was a woman who had actually spent time with Jesus. Extraordinary. And so we need to realize that each of us are on this journey, and as soon as we become stagnant or we get stuck, that's actually a dangerous place to be when it comes to the kingdom. Because it's a constant journey. So I don't want anyone to go this journey of sonship. Oh, I'm a son of God. I've arrived. I've got it sorted. Because there is a process that we need to learn. And there's areas of our lives that He wants to transform. However, that does not make the truth any different. He wants, that in Romans, Paul writes for, in Romans 8 chapter, if we can just have that up on the screen please, Nathan. Romans 8:19 says, for all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who His children are. Further down in that passage, it talks about that creation groans. If we look around our world at the moment, our world is pretty groany, isn't it? Longing for God to come through. The temptation recently is to be that we become a woke society. We change our theology to fit in with everything else rather than standing on the promise of this, His word. And that culture, that whether it be the cancel culture and all the different words and terms that are thrown around the moment, has crept its way in because we, if you're really, really honest, there's things that are in this book that are highly offensive. If I'm actually comfortable and want to sit in my space and actually that God's, you know, whatever it might be, whatever is challenging us in. There are some things in here I was reading during the week. Consider a pure joy when you face trials of any time. Who knows that one? Who likes it? You beauty, there's another trial coming. No, none of us do. Because we all like to live life in a place of comfort and those things. And when life doesn't get comfortable, we all squirm in some way. But God teaches us and grows us through those moments. Because the times when He doesn't come and rescue us in an immediate answer to prayer, He's taking us a journey so that we can trust Him because there's something in my life that He's wanting to transform. And something in yours. I know my God heals. I know my God is a miraculous God. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. But I also know my God is a God of process. And I've got to trust my God in the process because he actually knows me better than I know myself. And therefore, he knows the best remedy for me to be the best version of myself. But that's uncomfortable at times because it means we have to walk through the journey. Now, I'm sort of new to the, you know, Nigel and Renee's journey in a little bit, in the fact that I've followed your journey on Facebook and we've obviously had some interactions over time. But the way you guys walked your journey was an inspiration to me, looking from a distance. Because you two kept your eyes on Jesus. I'm sure there must have been some fearful moments and some moments where you were raw and real with God. If there wasn't, I'd be questioning your humanity. But I want you to know that it inspired me as I watched the journey from a distance. Obviously, I wasn't close at that point. I wasn't here. And I think I saw something. It was 6 months yesterday. Was that? Yeah. Can we give the God a round of applause? Can we just... But they're an example of people who went on a journey. God gave them, you know, I assume God spoke and said, that's what it needs to be. And you obediently went on the journey despite the fear and all the rest of it. I'm assuming, because I haven't had that conversation with you one-on-one, so come and whack me if I'm getting it wrong. But they had to go through the process. They had to go through the surgery, the pain, all of the things. And we celebrate today that the person you are today is going to be so much deeper and real and all the things in there because of the journey that you've been on. You have a testimony of overcoming. And we're going to, it's a testimony you're going to pass on to your children, to your children's children. But we also boldly ask that no more things get passed down to your family, that this be the end. In the name of Jesus. I don't know enough, but I just sense that there is, that God is saying the generational thing is done. In Jesus' name. I love it when I get talking because I don't end up going where I thought I was going to go anyway, but that's good. The key to this journey is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. So we're meant to have a relationship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our sonship journey is one of a relationship with the Father. And I know for some of you, as soon as I go have a relationship with Father God, all these memories come up. Well, don't know whether I can trust Father God. Or some of you might be, oh yeah, I can even feel his embrace. We all need to be able to get to that place. We can understand with Jesus because we've read what he did when he walked on the earth in the Gospels, and we get this story of a radical, world-changing man that just transformed people's lives by his radical love and his ability to be present everywhere he went with the people he came into contact with. Quite extraordinary. And Holy Spirit, I know you as a community are really hungry to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit and see the Spirit work in each of your lives. But I love the fact that in that end of the passage that we looked at last week in Ephesians 1:14, can we just grab the next slide there, please, Nathan? Next one. Awesome. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us an inheritance he promised. And that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. What an extraordinary thing, the God of the universe, the one that was there, the one that said, let us make man in our image. Spirit of God that hovered over the surface of the waters at the beginning of time. Now is in here, in you. And in me. Someone said yesterday, if we had a truly real revelation of what it meant to have God living in me, we'd probably live life very differently. And he's true. It was true. And I'm hoping that that's where we as a church will go on a journey of being a people boldly knowing our security in the Father's love. We can follow the example of Jesus and we can be led by his Spirit at all times, being comforted, get the wisdom, discernment, everything that comes from him. But it comes from our security in being sons that means that we can approach God boldly. I was going to talk about this a little bit later on down in the passage, but I just feel like now's the right time. There's a lady called Heidi Baker that has a ministry in Mozambique, and she takes orphans in. And in one of her books, she talks about when she takes in an orphan into her home, she expresses to them, "You are now my child. You have access to everything." She said it's really interesting watching those that are still carrying that orphan sort of mentality will tend to steal the cans of Coke out of the fridge, even though they're available to them. They'll grab it, go and run away and hide. Or they'll keep a little bit of their food because they might need it later, even though there's an abundance of food. Because an orphan has a scarcity, a survival mentality. And then when the transition sort of happens and they begin to become more comfortable and they know that they're not going to get in trouble because they've taken a can of Coke, they feel the freedom to be able to just go and take something from the fridge and then just go and have it and enjoy it is there. As I said last week, my fridge and my cupboards are not off limits to my children. But sometimes where in our thinking we still feel like we've got to earn God's love, there's still some orphan thinking somewhere deep within us that stops us from actually accessing that full inheritance that God has for us. And that's why the process is really important, because we have to transition from being orphans to sons or as God's children. It's vital. But he also places the orphan in family. And that's what we get to be. As we become more secure in our relationship with Christ and in our that aspect that he calls us his children, we can actually be a part of encouraging and helping and welcoming other people into the family. I have got no doubt that we are going to have a rush of people coming into this place over time that are going to be new Christians, discovering faith. They may be from the absolute roughest parts of town, or they might be from the opposite. I don't know. God will bring the right people across our paths. It's how we love them. If we're secure in our sonship in Christ, we can love them without that fear. Because who knows? Now, this is a challenging one for churches, but we may have people come in that are really insecure, don't understand the system. When the basket comes past, they might pull something down and put it in their pocket. That'd never happen in church, would it? Typically, church would then, in the way things have been dealt with in the past, would be actually a shaming thing and it'd make them feel really bad and condemn them. But how about we go on a journey and actually understand why? Because they might need it. But two, there is something in them internally that needs the love of Christ to actually reveal the brokenness so that it can be healed. If we heap shame and condemnation on them, we're going to keep them locked in their stuff and they're never going to find freedom. I'm not saying we encourage people to steal from the offering bucket, by the way. It's just an example. We have to be able to see beyond the behaviours, beyond the things, and see the person and be conduits of the love of Christ to bring that person on a journey into wholeness and to fulfilment. It's actually quite a beautiful thing to be a part of. And if you really think of the privilege of being able to do that with each other and others that come and join our, in our community, is actually quite an extraordinary privilege to be able to do that and be that for each other. This passage of scripture that I've got in here, and my phone's not going, there we go. So if, well, I'm just going to read this verse by verse. So Nathan, if you just follow me, that'd be brilliant. Romans 8:14-17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father. Daddy. First time I ever heard someone address God as Daddy, I was offended. Because I'd had such a hard, harsh view of who God was. As I begin to go on this journey of sonship, to actually know that I can call him Dad. It's one of the greatest things as a dad to hear. I'm sure it's the same for Mum. When your kids come in the door, hey Mum, hey Dad. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to hear. I don't know whether Elijah admit it now, but I remember as a little fella, he said to me, I just want to be like you, Dad. That both scared the living daylights out of me. And warm my heart so much. And now he's sort of a 6'2" version of me when you look at him. But it's extraordinary. And that's what our Father in heaven wants us to be. Hey, Daddy, I want to be like you. I want to love like you. For the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So we are created in the image of God. We are body, soul, spirit. And his Spirit comes and joins with ours. And we come alive. And since we are children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we also share in his glory, we must share in his suffering. And he had to end up with that, didn't he? But it's true. See, Jesus wasn't recognized for who he was. Why do we expect we will be? It's hard. But when we have our security in Christ, it doesn't matter what other people say of us because we know who our daddy is. We can go to him with anything. We can find our security in him. We can cry on his shoulder. We can beat his chest and go, God, why is this happening? And he's okay. He'll listen to our whinging and then he'll get to a certain point and go, okay, praise me now. For I'm good and I'm with you and I'm not going to let you go. But the Spirit works in our lives to strip us from anything that has not come from the heart of the Father for us as children. As I said last week, he wants to deal with the sin issue so that we can carry his glory. But he wants to strip us of anything that we've put on that's ill-fitting or doesn't. It's just not it. And I want this place, this community, to be a place where everyone can just turn up and be that. Where we can just be. And from what I've can tell so far is that you're a people who want that as well. We don't want a pretentious, religious, legalistic relationship with Christ. Because that kills you. Want a life-giving, authentic, vulnerable, real, intimate.
Hallelujah, yes.
I'm glad someone wants it. I know we all do. And that's what it is, because you know what? As I say, I don't know everyone's stories. I don't know mine well enough to know that if what's going on in my story is going on the lives of others, there's a whole heap of stuff that we carry. Disappointment, grief, loss. Now, I'm not talking out of school with this, because Isaac knows, and one day I will get him to come and share his whole testimony. Some of you heard a brief testimony of him yesterday, and I'll get Isaac to come and share this one day. My oldest boy had some significant issues. When he was first diagnosed with autism, I had a spiritual mum of mine come to me and say, "Jason, you haven't grieved the loss of the child you thought you had." I didn't like her very much. I thought, "What do you mean?" But what I began to realise is that I had expectations of what it was going to be like to be a dad. And I was actually putting my expectations on him. And I had to go on a journey of saying, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And it might be the same for any of us, no matter what we're carrying. And we have to be willing to let some of those things go and give it to God, because some things we may not get an answer this time, this side of history. Not fun things. That wasn't a fun journey. But you know, when I went on the process, I was able to just love Isaac for who he is and see the extraordinary gift that he is to our world. And I believe that that's what God wants to do in all our hearts. As I've already said, we don't have to do this journey alone. We get to do it as a family. Because if there's kids, we're all kids, we get to do things together. Families are sometimes messy. But if we make a commitment as a church family to be authentic, real, pursue the heart of the Father first and foremost, I think we're going to go on an extraordinary journey of seeing his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I think we're going to see some mighty miracles. We're going to see an outpouring of his spirit like never before. But he's got to do something in us first so that we're ready for what he's got. Because it could be quite the roller coaster ride. And that's not a bad thing, that's actually an extraordinary gift. An extraordinary gift. And not one of you needs to miss out on the journey. You're all invited. You're all invited to be a part of it. So, Pam, be the best version of Pam you can be. Don't have to be anything else. You don't have to be a superstar worship leader from the front or any of those things. You're perfectly okay the way you are, because God's equipped you to do what you've got to do today. I don't have to be the world's greatest preacher and teacher and all those things, because I just get to be Jason. Karen gets to be Karen. You just get to be you. And it's really, really special. I want to finish today with a bit of an honesty moment, though, where you and God have a bit of a conversation, and you'll see the guitar there, and I'm going to attempt to sing a song. I think one of the things that actually stops us from actually fully embracing God as Father and really embracing the sonship journey is fear. It's not the only thing, but fear is a big part of it, because our past experiences actually influence that. She's brave getting up and playing with me. You'll see why in a minute. She might be fear. Maybe the fear needs to be broken off here. Thanks. But there's all sorts of things. Yeah, you know, we pray for healing. It hasn't happened. Therefore, we don't step into that place and pursue it anymore, because I'm fearful that God's not going to turn up again. We've prayed for this and that hasn't happened, or it's turned out totally the opposite of the way we do it. And it creates fear in our lives that stops us from stepping into that place that God wants for us. There's also the words of people around us. There's a self-talk that we give ourselves. Fear is a horrible, horrible master. And I think we've seen it being ruled over our world in such a powerful way over the last 2.5 years, in such a way that it's actually caused all kinds of manifestations of brokenness. Fear is a term, but we promise the scripture is a perfect love casts out fear. So I'm going to sing a song. And it's called Fear is a Liar. I don't know how this is going to work with this. Let me hold on. David tells me it's okay to sing into this. And if it doesn't work, it might be a mercy to all of you. How are we going? Was that coming through? And the words of this says, when he told you that you're not good enough, and he told you that you're not right, when he told you that you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you that you're not worthy, when he told you that you're not loved, when he told you that you're not beautiful, and that you'll never be enough. Fear is a liar. Verse 2 says, when he told you you were troubled and you'll forever be alone, when he told you that you should run away and never find a home, when he told that you were dirty and that you should be ashamed, when he told you that you could be the one that grace could never change. Ever had that thought? Ah, it's all good for everybody else, but not for me. I'm too beyond it. When he told you you're not good enough, and he told you you're not right, and he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, and he told you you're not loved, he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Oh, fear is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your you should be ashamed, and he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Oh, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your stead. Fear, he is a liar. He'll rob your rest, happiness, cast your fear in fire. Let
fire full and crossed out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Fear is a liar. He'll take your breath, stop you in your stead. Your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, 'cause fear, he is a liar.
I can have the last slide up, please. I found these two images. There we go, beautiful. I thought they were so fitting. I love the image of the dad walking on the shore with his boy. We can either let the fear consume us, or we can let the love of Christ consume us. Both are a fire. One's going to refine us, and one's going to get us stuck. So in this moment, as we finish our service today, I want to invite you to have a moment of honesty. If I was a little bit more organized than I probably should have done, I was going to actually have a bucket of stuff that you could write some things and put it at the foot of the cross. But maybe you need to still just go stand in front of the cross and just metaphorically just have that moment where I just give you this, God. If you need prayer, we'll be here to pray for you. None are exempt. There's a reason, there's emotion for me behind that song. And when the time's right, I'm sure I'll share more of that reason why. Some of it's still a little bit raw. So we process our rawness with God and those trusted people, and then we get to invite others into the journey. But I can tell you what, the fear, the ramifications of not going to our perfect, loving, glorious, majestic God, who wants to, yes, he will put, the heat will come on, but it will refine us. The dross will be gone. But you've got to process the dross. Doesn't mean it's wrong or evil or sinful to fear. It's a natural thing. God designed us that way. We're just not designed to live in it 24/7. So, Father, you say in your word that perfect love casts out fear. Father, I thank you for the promise of your word that no matter what we are facing today, that you are with us. That you don't stand from a distance and you don't go, oh, come over here, son. But you actually reach in and you walk that journey, at times carrying us when we don't even realize it. Father, I pray that you will, by your spirit that you've deposited in each of us, will you give us the courage to face these things so that we can stand secure. That those little areas of our lives where we're still carrying orphan thinking will be dissolved because of the security of knowing you as Daddy. And the better we know you as Daddy, the more secure we are. And the more we experience your love, the less fear has a hold in our lives because of your goodness and your majesty. I, for one, Father, say, just do what you've got to do in my life. So I can be the best, authentic, vulnerable, real version of Jason. And may each of my brothers and sisters here in this room be able to do the same. Holy Spirit, we boldly ask for a mighty work of your Spirit in this place. In Jesus' name we declare. Amen. Amen.